You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Wednesday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Coming up, Kevin Bacon, great actor. He's in one of my favorite TV shows that I'm watching right now, City on a Hill. It's actually in the second season, but Kevin, I think, made his debut in Animal House. He had a small role as a pledge in Animal House. Of course, skyrocketed to fame with Footloose, but I love this series. He plays a bad guy, Jackie Raw, in Boston. Jackie Raw. So Kevin Bacon will join us coming up here in a little bit. Your phone calls as well. We were going to talk about Zion Williamson's new shoe that was unveiled by the Jordan brands yesterday. And it has a Z on the side, and that is to, quote, harness power in the heel and help with speed in the forefoot. It sells for $120. How do they decide how that harnesses power in the heel and it's going to help me with my speed? Like, how do they do this? Do they have a combine? Do they do, like, you know, time, like 40-yard dash? Boy, that's harnessing the power in the heel, and that's going to really help you with your speed here. And, you know, 120 is not a bad price, I guess. When's the last time you spent, like, I've spent over $100 on shoes that are comforting to walk in. But nothing where I go, I need like this high performance type sneaker here. What's the most you ever spent on a sneaker, McLovin?
So I wear Hoka One Ones, like Todd, they're like orthopedic shoes. They're $160 to $250.
Yeah.
So I pay $160 for each pair and they last 6 months. And I hate spending that much.
Yeah.
That's over my budget.
Very comfort driven shoes.
Have you tried them?
Yeah, I have. In fact, I had a pair before you got your pair, and then you said,
oh, and then I have to, I secretly buy the shoes. I love your Nikes, and I kind of buy them and wear them at home, but not here. Sorry.
You are a single white male, where you kind of stalk me.
You have a sneaker game. I will give you that.
Yes, Eden.
I did notice today that Andrew's wearing Adidas for the first time in a very, very, very long time. It seems like, anyway, because you do wear that one brand religiously.
Yeah.
There was just one thing that changed yesterday.
What changed yesterday?
So Todd shows up in the same pair. And like, I love being on the back row with Todd, but fashion-wise, I do not want to be in the same category with him.
I just ruined it for everyone by wearing a pair of Hokas.
So Todd shows up yesterday in the Hokas or whatever they are, right? And Andrew blows a gasket like, oh my, you just stole my sneakers. And then today he shows up in Adidas. That's definitely on purpose.
He was legitimately upset, not show upset.
Yeah, yeah. Todd was wearing his black jeans from 2006.
Circa 2006. But most of the stuff that he hasn't bought shoes. Those shoes are given to you.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
Even the previous, I was walking around with those red, white, and blues because that wasn't something I bought.
Yeah. I think that was ASIC.
Yeah. I don't know if it was an Olympic-related thing from when the hockey team won.
But Todd doesn't buy sneakers. He buys squeakers. Because when he walks, they squeak.
I tell him, I actually asked him to go in the back. Can you find the ones that are a little louder? Because this one, no one's going to hear me coming by.
Todd goes to the shoe department, and he wants to try them on, not to see if they feel good, just so they don't squeak.
I also like when they treat me like a little kid. I like to put my foot in that thing, the little measuring thing they do for 5-year-olds, just to make sure my big toe touches that 11. Makes me feel good.
Actual sound of Todd.
It's the Galoshes brand. That's what I'm kind of pushing.
But Zion has officially entered the new realm of NBA superstar as he has his signature shoe. And they said that per the company, the shoes are the culmination of his supernatural game and down-to-earth personality. Yeah, Paul.
They're kind of mid-level. One of them has a colorful graffiti look. Then there's black and white. Then there's like a purple gray and a red gray.
Mm.
They're very distinct, though, with the Z. It's very clear what they're trying to go for.
Do they help you play defense? Because he needs some help on defense along with his teammates. The Pelicans are horrible on defense, like laughable on defense. So bad that Stan Van Gundy, their coach, during the game last night, was talking about how bad his team's defense is. I watch the Pelicans. Yeah, I find it interesting with Zion. you know, Lonzo Ball, I have still curiosity with, but man, they're a disappointment. And defense comes down to do you want to play defense? Because I'm going to guess most of these guys have the athleticism to be able to do that. You got to want to play defense. And it feels like New Orleans doesn't want to play defense. I also found out Zion Williamson is having a historic year when it comes to scoring and field goal percentage. He is set to be the third player to average at least 25 per game in a season while shooting at least 60% from the floor. You won't get the other two. One did this in 1986. One did this in 1989. Both averaged over 25 a game. And one averaged right at 60% from the floor. And the other one just a little over 60% from the floor. Zion is having a better year than these two Hall of Famers did in their individual year. 86, 87, and then 1989, 1990. These are the only two players who have ever done this. Kevin McHale, Charles Barkley. Zion is set to be the third player to ever do this. And he's a whole lot younger than those guys were. Hold on. Had a big night last night, but it just feels like everybody's having a big night. Yeah, it just is. But they don't play any defense whatsoever. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DPShow. The mock draft consensus seems to be no defensive player will be selected until perhaps 9 with Denver, 10 with the Cowboys. Since they've had the common draft, that's 1967, the longest streak of offensive players to open a draft is 6 in 1999. Champ Bailey was drafted 7th overall by Washington. Quarterbacks went 1, 2, 3. That was Tim Couch, Donovan McNabb, and Akili Smith. That could happen again in 2021. And the first defensive player off the board is probably going to be a defensive back. Yes, Paul?
There doesn't seem to be a Myles Garrett, a focal point rush player that anyone's talking about, where it's like, you got to get him in the top five. I haven't heard anyone talk about like a Bosa brother.
No. There's a couple of edge rushers, but for the most part, you know, Patrick Surtain from Alabama is, you know, considered probably a first-day starter, defensive back. His father played in the NFL. And you know, maybe that's where the Cowboys go with the first defensive player, but that would be 10 players in if that were the case. I think there's a couple other defensive backs that will probably be taken. Jalen Phillips is an edge rusher. I think he's out of Miami. He'll be probably the first edge rusher off the board. But it's going to be an offensive heavy with quarterbacks, with wide receivers, and with tackles. Yeah, McLevin.
You know, in past years, sometimes tackles storm up the draft board at the end. It sounds like that could happen again this year.
That's not happening. There's only two of them. Well,
yeah, well there's a USC kid.
Yeah, USC.
Well, I mean, like, storm up, like, to the top 20. Like, it feels like teams like tackles more than mock drafters do. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't think anybody's doing a deep dive on Rashawn Slater from Northwestern, even though he's going to be a top 15 pick. Penei Sewell could be the 5th pick overall. Yeah, Paul.
And I saw some analytics yesterday that the offensive linemen are the safest picks. Those are the guys who stay with their teams the longest. Those are the guys who are out of the league. They're rarely out of the league in 3 years.
And you can hide them. You know, they don't stand out individually. I mean, you can survive with a B-minus tackle. You can, because you can help them out or they can play another position. But you got to have them. Just ask Patrick Mahomes. As great as he is, that line was not great and not even good. And Tampa Bay won the Super Bowl by putting that pressure on him. Yeah, McLevin.
If you're, say, the Giants' Daniel Jones, quarterback, would you want a great offensive lineman or a great receiver? So, say you had Devontae Smith or whatever top-ranked tackle there is. I know they have some tackles, but
I might want another quarterback.
I feel like quarterbacks want tackles. They want the...
Yeah, they do.
They don't care about the receivers as much.
It feels like, you know, you can find a receiver and you can find a running back. Feels like that. Now, you can say you can find linemen as well, and I agree. Like, I don't know. Quarterback's the one just because of the salary. Like, that's the one that you got to get. But you have to find your quarterback. I hate when I hear this. Oh, they got to get a quarterback. No, no, get your quarterback. Because when I mentioned the last time in 1999, Tim Couch, Donovan McNabb, and Akili Smith, those were the three quarterbacks. Well, Akili Smith was, you know, drafted by the Bengals. And it felt like the Bengals panicked. And they're like, well, we got to get a quarterback. We'll take Akili Smith. And Akili Smith couldn't play in the NFL. Tim Couch went to a bad team. Donovan McNabb is a borderline Hall of Famer. It just feels like two of these five quarterbacks, first five quarterbacks, are going to be really successful. And one or two might be dependent on the team that they go to. And then one might just be a total washout. Yeah, Paul.
It does feel, though, that the teams have thrown that out because of the money. Like, if we don't get it this year, we'll get it next year. But we're not going to be overly patient. You know, the Rams got rid of Jared Goff. I understand, like, he's not perfect. But
and
he was
the Eagles got rid of Carson Wentz.
Yeah, there's no patience anymore. Yeah. Even for guys, Jared Goff went to a Super Bowl, and he doesn't get a to stay.
Sam Darnold's gone. You got three years to prove yourself. That's it. 3 years. Yeah, McClub.
I don't think you've been alerted to the against the grain.
Oh, you have one?
I have one on quarterback red flags that was, I don't know if it made the rundown.
It did. Well, let me check the rundown here.
I actually mentioned it to Paulie after the rundown was done.
Okay. So. Don't see anything on my rundown here. Is it ready?
It's ready, actually.
Oh, my God.
I am going to tell you why. Remember that guy calling me McHayton? Why I have issues with the top eight quarterback all prospects, right. All of them flawed.
All right.
Tell me if you agree.
Okay.
Trevor Lawrence. I finally read the SI piece, and some of the quotes in there are very concerning, Dan.
Okay.
He said, who has time to read the playbook when you're playing video games? That's a big red flag. He said, Fortnite is my playbook.
Was he joking?
No, I'm making this
up. That's what I thought.
But see, I'd rather watch office reruns than practice. All right. This is the Tota. Our number two, Zach Wilson, red flag.
Okay.
He's very good looking. Looks like Zac Efron, right? That's a huge red flag. You don't want your quarterback to be too good looking, just sort of good looking.
Like Mark Sanchez?
Blaine Gabbert is very handsome. Cam Newton, very handsome. It was very inaccurate last year. I don't know if there's a connection there. So he's too good looking. So.
But I saw where somebody, and I apologize, I don't know who tweeted this out or wrote it. Zach Wilson looks like a guy playing Zach Wilson in a movie about Zach Wilson. Like it'd be a Friday Night Lights sequel. So it's Zach Wilson's playing Zach Wilson in a movie about Zach Wilson. Yes, Paul.
And McLovin has a good point. Tom Brady wasn't handsome until after he won his first Super Bowl.
Product.
Yep.
Tom Brady. He's not naturally handsome. That's all like moisturizing lotions and not eating strawberries.
Wow.
Okay, number three.
Okay.
Mac Jones. Did you guys know his real name is Michael McCorkle Jones? Mac is short for McCorkle. How can a guy named McCorkle be your star quarterback?
Well, that's why he changed it.
Yeah, but I don't know if you can get away with it. You can't leave a name like that. McCorkle sticks with you.
You know Steph Curry's real name?
No, what?
Wardell.
No way.
Yes.
Oh, and that explains those nerdy shoes coming full circle.
Wardell is like Urkel.
Yeah, that's bad. McCorkle's not great. Okay, Trey Lance. Dan, what about the history of North Dakota State quarterbacks? Carson Wentz? Traded from the Eagles.
Any other ones?
Easton Stick, fifth round pick, hasn't even played in the game yet. Just a backup in the Chargers.
Okay.
I mean, I hate to. If you're going to say Justin Fields as Dwayne Haskins, problem about Trey Lance. Okay, Justin Fields. Has there ever been a quarterback who lost her job in college and got drafted high or was Super Bowl MVP? I can't think of any.
Tom Brady did.
Yes. And actually, I'm going to the last three picks, Joe Burrow, number one overall, lost his job. Kyler Murray, number one overall, lost his job at A&M. And Baker Mayfield, number one overall, lost his job twice in college and was number one overall. And three Super Bowl MVPs lost their job in college. Nick Foles lost it to Brian Hoyer, Joe Flacco to Tyler Palko, and Tom Brady. So is it amazing that Justin Fields is getting killed for that? Two more, Dan.
No.
Kellen Mond. Texas A&M, the hot guy. You mentioned him the other day.
Yeah.
Dude, if he was so good, he would have come out 5 years ago. He's been there. He predated Johnny Manziel at Texas A&M, as I recall.
I'm sure. That's how I checked it out.
He was there with Johnny Lamb Jones in the 1986 draft.
No, no. Lamb Jones played at Texas, by the way.
Two more. Kyle Trask. History of quarterbacks named Kyle. Kyle Bowler. Kyle Orton. Kyle Allen. Kyle Loletta. Do you see any Pro Bowlers in that list, Dan?
Kyler Murray?
No, Kyle. Just Kyle.
Oh,
I added to the R by accident.
All right. All right.
And what's the other guy? Davis Wells out of Stanford? Davis Mills?
Yes.
Yeah, we're running a football team, not a hedge fund here, Dan. Davis Mills. Yeah, yeah. How is he going to play quarterback when he's in white-collar prison in 10 years for some hedge fund maneuvers?
What?
Come on. Davis Mills out of Stanford? That's not a quarterback name. So those are my red flags.
Okay.
That's all I got, Dan, because there's nothing but positives about all these guys.
You will not get that breakdown anyplace else.
No. The Trevor Lawrence, just in case you're in your car, those were made up. He did not say Fortnite is my playbook.
Well, he's probably thought of it, but he's not going to say that publicly.
No, that would be bad.
Yeah, yeah, Paul.
He's married now. His video game playing days are over. Trust me.
Mm.
You got to look for opportunities to play 8 hours of video games.
Mm.
It's like trying to find the lost city because my wife will leave town for a day, and I grab the FIFA and dust it off. I'm done for a day and a half.
Yeah, but you have kids.
Right, but they can entertain themselves. They're resilient.
But when you didn't have kids, then you could play video games.
Well, my wife would get a couple wines. She'd pass out on the couch. I would be playing FIFA at 2 in the morning, then going to work with you the next day. Living the dream.
Yes, we love it.
When I had kids, someone said to me, the worst part is you're not going to be able to play golf anymore. I never played golf, so it didn't hurt me. But
but then you want to take up golf after you've had kids.
Is that a big balancing act, golf and young kids? I heard that stuff.
Yes, yes, it is. My wife didn't understand, why does it take you 4 hours to play golf? And I said, hon, that's on the quick side. Like, there are guys who say it takes 6 hours to play golf. I go, hit a couple of balls, we play, I get done, no 19th hole. That's it. And then she goes, why is it 18? Can't you play like 10 holes? I said, I can, but they call for 18 holes. Yeah, Paul.
After having kids, I wanted out of the house so bad, I almost took up caddying again. I was like, I'll just carry the bag. I can't golf. I'll just do 4 hours on the bag.
In case you're wondering, and you probably are, we do have a new, a couple of new t-shirts on the website. We have the one that Fritzy is wearing, the tribute to the Phoenix Suns. There's Todd standing up. You can't pull it down anymore, Todd.
I'm really just trying to stretch it as far as I can go.
Yes, Eden.
You know how sometimes you could just like see something coming way before it actually happens? And Todd came walking in and I was like, oh, there's the show today.
Yeah.
You just see, like, okay, there's the show today. Todd's wearing a shirt. Here we go.
You got to look away. It's like the eclipse of the sun shirt.
It leaves nothing to the imagination.
You can't blame Paulie, though. Like, you can't blame him, Todd, today.
I cannot.
No, no.
I brought it on myself.
Yes, you did. You put it on yourself.
I needed some different tools to get it on.
You might need help getting it off.
Yeah.
That's good. Do they have a Jaws of Life for
no,
for a
get
t-shirt?
Me out of here. I can't breathe.
My gosh, could you imagine if you asked Todd to use scissors to cut it off?
Well, he wouldn't know how to use scissors.
I'd be wearing this shirt for the rest of my life, basically.
Right. No.
Unless I tear it off. Don't give me scissors.
And we also have the other one, the Super League t-shirt. The league lasted 5 days, and we have a tribute to the 5 days that the Super League lasted. Rest in peace.
Is it like Sunday to Tuesday?
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah.
Something crazy.
Big seller in the UK. The EU. All right, we'll take a break. I promise I'll get to phone calls here at some point, but Kevin Bacon, big-time actor, is going to join us. And we'll take a break. It's 21 after the hour. This is the Dan Patrick Show. Discover the Discover credit card. You'll discover that Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically. No limit on how much you can earn, which is amazing. In fact, even more amazing because of all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of the places in the United States that take credit cards take Discover. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing the word yes more often. You can learn more at discover.com/yes. Discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Got a tweet from John in Denver. How do we not have a I have a puppy t-shirt yet? Seton?
It's, believe it or not, the last hour or so is there's been much communication about I have a puppy.
Okay, but I'm the one who has the puppy.
Well, lots of people in the world have puppies.
No.
Dan. Are you already cease and desisting us?
I'm not.
Your own show?
I'm not going to pull a Tom Brady on you.
You just cease and desisted me already. What the heck?
I'm not going to cease and desist you.
Paul has a puppy?
Yeah, but it's an older puppy.
It's like a month older than yours.
I have my little puppy, Winnie, is 2 months old.
By the way, all of a sudden, Paul's texting pictures of his puppy now.
Oh, no, I know.
You know what that is. That's a shot.
Oh.
That is a shot right across the bow of Winnie.
Paulie sent me a photo of his dog asleep.
That's all it does.
And then Eric, the big German, said, don't forget about Penny. And then my son sent me a picture of his dog with his sad look on his face. Don't forget about Cooper. I went, I just got a puppy, okay? It's okay. There's room for everybody here. Are we coming up with I Have a Puppy Teeth? Oh, look at that. If you're watching on Peacock, that is Mario holding little Winnie.
I hate to go behind the scenes, but Winnie and Winnie's people have not signed the release yet for the shirt.
Yeah, look at that. Look at that little puppy. We can't go wrong with that.
Biting Mario's neck.
But the only, they couldn't find any people who liked Mario, so he found a dog that liked him.
Well, we should show the puppy the video of Mario shooting the basketball.
Yeah,
and he'll start distancing. The puppy will start distancing himself.
Yeah. Puppy's like, oh, that's funny. I took a crap on that floor, too.
Not as big as yours.
Oh, I took a dump on that floor as well. Mm.
That's harsh.
This program.
Offense.
Poor Mario.
It's not necessary.
This program brought to you by Mercedes-Benz fans to go far beyond for their customization. Is Kevin Bacon still going to join us?
I hope so.
Okay. Mercedes-Benz fans built, equipped, engineered to get ready for anything. Go the extra mile, taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. It's a great series. I'm in season two. It's called City on a Hill. It airs Sundays on Showtime at 9 Eastern, 9 Pacific. Kevin Bacon, the great actor, he plays a detective, Jackie Raw, and Kevin Bacon joins us on the program. How would you describe your character? Is Jackie a good guy or a bad guy?
Well, Jackie is a complicated guy. I tend to not really put my characters into bad or good because I've done so many horrible things as an actor. I mean, in the parts that I've played, you know, inexcusable kinds of things. But while I'm playing these people, I have to sort of stay in their shoes. So I really feel like it's up to the audience to make their decisions about whether or not they like him or, I mean, let's put it this way. If somebody finds him to be a good guy, then that's on you. I think it's pretty tough to explain, but he's also, you know, complicated. I mean, one of the interesting things about Jackie is that he has a very, very difficult upbringing, which is going to become clearer and clearer this season. But he, you know, gets himself into school. He comes from the streets, comes from nothing, you know, gets incredibly well educated. So there's this kind of juxtaposition between being very, very streetwise, but also very, very well read and able to just kind of pull up things out of his hard drive historically, whether they're true or not. You know, it's a fascinating side to him, I think.
Yeah, a lot of quotes from him. But does your wife ever look at you and say, like, I didn't know that was inside you?
Wow, that's a really good question. I think that after 32 years, I don't think I've ever done anything that's sort of like she's seen me do it in a film and it kind of scares her or kind of puts her off from me, because she's an actor too. So she knows that this is our job to make it look like it's believable. But the most exciting thing for me and the greatest joy that I would have is to show her a scene and have her say, okay, that surprised me in terms of that choice that you made there, because she knows all my tricks. She's seen everything I've done. She knows all my, you know. So if I can kind of like show a new quality to her and she sees it, that's a thrill for me.
Yeah, but Sleepers is pretty dark stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, it's horrible. I've done, like I said, I mean, I've done just the worst things. You know, when I became an actor, I didn't want to be just the boy next door. And, you know, physically, I think when I was just starting out, that was the way people would sort of put me in that category, right? I mean, so I had to fight against that. And I think part of that fight for me was being able to go down some dark roads in terms of the characters that I played.
But then you have a movie like Footloose. So you have Footloose early. So we see you as, boy, that guy, he's the energetic guy that he's doing the do-gooder. And I think because of that, when you start to do the dark stuff, it's like, whoa, wait a minute here.
Yeah. I mean, after Footloose, people really wanted me to look. Hollywood has very little imagination when it comes to casting. You know, most people end up doing kind of the same thing, right? I mean, even some of our great actors, you know, they are the funny guy or the nerdy one or the romantic dude or the gangster or, you know, whatever it is. You can try to kind of veer off to the side every once in a while, but Hollywood really wants you to kind of stay in that. And so does the audience, frankly, in a way. So after Footloose, you know, what people wanted me to do was that again, or some sort of version of that. And I tried, you know, a couple of times, but it didn't really feel, it didn't feel right to me, not to who I am or what I wanted to be as an actor.
Were you offered Dirty Dancing?
No, I don't think I was. No. Was that after Footloose? I guess it was.
I'm just thinking of all the, you know, you didn't get Saturday Night Fever.
No, I didn't. No, that's true. That's true. But if you look, the next, here's a little tidbit. The next movie that I did after Footloose was called Quicksilver, and I played a bike messenger.
Yeah.
And I wanted to do the movie because it was pitched to me as this sort of like, you know, kind of gritty New York, supposed to take place in New York thing about a guy loses money on Wall Street. He becomes, you know, it was like a streetwise guy. It was, the director kept saying to me, I just love Martin Scorsese. I want to make Mean Streets, right? It's not what they had in mind at all. And when you end up seeing the movie, I actually have a dancing, what do you call it? A pas de deux, with a ballerina where I'm dancing on a bike. I'm doing like tricks. I had to learn to do stunts on a stunt cycle, and she's dancing around me. So basically they were like, we're taking the Footloose kid and we're putting him in this bike movie, but it has to be a bike dancing number. And you should check it out online. It's hilarious, actually, if you haven't seen it.
You're from Philly, but you have to have a Boston accent. The difference between those two.
Oh, huge, huge. I mean, you know, accents, if you look at accents on the East Coast, you know, they kind of slide in a way. And Boston is in this weird way. I mean, for one thing, the O sound in Philly is a really specific sound. You know, you flatten your A's and you say, I'm going to get a Coke, you know, and that's the most specific sound. In Boston, totally different. I can't even think of what it is now, but totally different sound. And then it kind of slides down through New York and you hear it change. And after it moves out of Philadelphia, it becomes more extreme when you get to Baltimore, you know, and you're like, everyone's talking like this in Baltimore, even more extreme. And then it sort of slides into a Virginia accent and then sort of morphs into a Southern accent. It's a really fascinating thing to me. I hope that we never, I find accents to be like national treasures, and I hope that we never lose it. I've ended up in Boston so many times, between Black Mass and Patriots Day and RIPD and Mystic River. And so I've been asked to be a Bostonian. I've only been asked to be a Philadelphian once, which was a film called The Woodsman. And I would love to be able to, you know, use my own accent in a film. My daughter is actually doing a thing called Mayor of Easton now, which is on HBO Max. And she like came to me asking me about kept calling me saying, Dad, how would I say this?
Wasn't your character's name Jimmy Dolan?
Jimmy Dolan, yeah.
And you're a Knicks fan.
Yeah. You know what? I got to tell you, I don't think I've ever really even made that connection.
What?
I don't even know if I've ever made that connection. I mean, somebody must have mentioned that to me before, but yeah, that is kind of weird. Knicks, 6 in a row, right?
Yeah, they're playing well.
Yeah. But that's cool. It's super cool.
By the way, we're talking to Kevin Bacon. City on a Hill airs Sundays on Showtime at 9 Eastern and Pacific. How would you rate your basketball game, by the way?
Terrible. Absolutely terrible. I mean, we played a little bit of basketball. There was one house in my neighborhood that had a rim on this little street. But I really, and one of the things about it though, is like, you know, Philadelphia has tiny, tiny little streets and they have these posts, these metal posts that have been there for years, I think, to keep people from parking on the thing. So you'd come up and you'd go up for a layup and hit the post with your nut. I mean, it was just absolutely terrible. So we were playing more sort of like football or half ball or, you know, something like that. And first off, I also want to say that I'm really not a natural athlete. I just am not a good ball player.
But trained you?
So I was trained for the air up there. Well, the first thing that I did was went and visited Steve Lavin because I was playing a coach. And Steve was, you know, kind of helpful. I guess he was an assistant coach at UCLA, I think, at that time, maybe, or I think. And, you know, so I got a chance to kind of see what that side of it was. And then I went and started, using a gym. And then eventually Bob McAdoo became my coach. And Bob came to Africa with us. And McAdoo once said that the hardest thing he ever had to do in his career was make me look like a basketball player, which is one of my favorite quotes. But he was a great guy. And one of my favorite moments was they had to get some shots of, you know, just cutaways of a basket, of a ball going through a basket. And he just stands like at the top of the key and just starts throwing them in one after another, his feet never leaving the ground. I guess it was a jump shot. and they're just going, I mean, it must have been 60 balls go in or something like that. It was just crazy. And the camera just kept rolling. And I don't know why they needed so many of them, but it was a great moment.
Well, he was such a great outside shooter. He had a unique shot, unique release to it. But did he think that you were going to somehow pick up on how he was shooting that would help your game?
He could have dreamt that would happen, but it wasn't going to happen.
It's great to hear from you. I love the series. Did you know that Aldis was in Friday Night Lights first season?
Yeah, I did know that.
So he was the quarterback in New Orleans who is transferring in. And you guys got something going on there. It's a great rivalry between you two.
I love working with Aldis. He's such a great, great man and such a great actor. And when I get a scene, he was actually cast before I was in City on a Hill. And so when we walked on the set, I think our first scene, if I remember correctly, was the scene where we meet for the first time. I didn't know. I didn't watch Friday Night Lights. I have to go back someday because everyone loves it. But I just never. It just wasn't a show that was on my radar. And you know, we did one take, and I was like, "Oh, this is going to be great. I'm going to love getting in the ring with this guy because he's so present, and he's so you know, you throw something at him and he throws it back. And it's when I get a script, if there's a scene between the two of us, I know it's golden.
How many cigarettes do you smoke an episode?
Yeah, a lot. Although I can tell you that and I don't think I will ever anymore. I'll tell you why, because when they're herbal cigarettes, by the way, when we shut down after the first two episodes and when we started back up, the protocols were no smoke on the set at all. It was something having to do with the COVID particles being able to hang on to smoke earlier. Like, you know, a lot of times on films you use what we call atmosphere, which is, you know, kind of a smoky kind of look to get the light shining through and stuff like that. Or if you're in a bar and it's supposed to be cigarettes. But we weren't allowed to smoke and I wasn't allowed to smoke. So it was all a digital effect from this second episode on. So I don't think I'll ever have to smoke again.
Oh, now you ruined it for me. See, I thought you were smoking these heaters and I was going, God, your wife has to be yelling at you.
No, it's not good. It's not good. I mean, they are herbal, but I don't ever think they're, you know, who knows? Yeah.
Well, congrats on the series and great to talk to you again, Kevin. Thank you for joining us.
I'm so happy always to talk to you, man. It's great, even in this situation.
Thank you, bud.
All right, take care.
That's Kevin Bacon. We were just wondering earlier in the show if you're going to have your last name be a food. Like Kevin Bacon is a pretty good name there.
Yeah, and that's his real name.
Yeah.
If you could, if your name was a food group, and then you could only eat that food group, bacon's a good one. Like if you had only, you know, pork products. Okay, I'm in.
I'd be Paul Sausage. Yeah. Some people call me that already. But I mean,
whoa.
I meant food related.
Paul Sausage.
Yeah, Paulie Sausage.
Hey,
Paulie Sausage.
That's one of the guys from Goodfellas, I think, when they're going down the bar. And Jimmy Two Times, go and get the papers, the papers. It's Paulie Sausage.
Fritzy Mountain Dew.
Yes, McLovin.
I'm reading a list of ranking the celebrities named after foods. Kevin Bacon is number two, and Gwyneth Paltrow's daughter, Apple Martin, is number one. That's what
really that is.
No, that doesn't work. It's not your last name. Yes, Tom.
Why do they try so hard, the celebrities with their kids' names? What's wrong with Steve and Mark and Mitchell? They're already famous. Why do you have to go out of your way with these cheesy, you know, pretentious names for their kids? This bugs me a lot. Back to you in the studio. Moon Unit, Rumor, just get over it. Sailor, get over yourself a little bit.
Moon Unit's like 60 years old.
Yeah, that's a long...
Still a name.
That's Frank Zappa's kid.
Still holding on to Moon Unit Zappa.
You know that Todd has never emerged out of the 70s or 80s. Todd, by the way, I walked by him during the last commercial break, and he acted as if...
It was a big accident almost happened there.
He acted as if he knocked a piece of paper over on the floor.
Just as you were walking by, oh, my mock headlines about the Super League almost fell.
So I got mock headlines on the Super League, but I got to take a break. Okay, I'm going to take a break, then we'll come back. And Paulie thinks it's too soon for you to be making fun of the Super League with mock headlines.
And you still have to okay the last one. I put like little red markings like Paulie used to do on the bottom one.
I haven't even looked at it. I just got it. All right, we'll take a break.
Super League. We'll come talk about a bad idea.
Back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I will be off the next 2 days. My son is getting married this weekend.
Wow.
Yep. Try to keep it together. I do have to give a toast at the rehearsal dinner. And I said to my wife, you got to get up there with me. And she goes, no, you're supposed to do it. I go, well, if I get up and do it, it ain't getting done. So do you want to join me? Yes, Paulie.
Isn't this a good ramp up, though, for when your daughters eventually get married? No.
No. No.
I think this is like you're dipping your toe in the...
No. I got no shot with my girls. No shot.
But this will...
Nope. This is just rehearsal dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah. This isn't a big deal.
I still say you pre-tape it here.
I'd like
speeches.
To. Yeah, see.
Have you met and spent much time with your new in-laws?
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit more with the father of the bride.
Because this is where you really get into it now. The rehearsal dinner. This is where it all really starts.
No, I don't think we're chopping anything up.
Yep.
No.
You're going to have many bottles of wine on the thing. Yep. This is where it all happens.
There's no way out now, though.
I did take him out drinking one time in New York.
How'd he do?
He made the mistake of trying to keep up with me.
Oh, dear.
And then he said to my son, you know, I'd enjoyed going out, but I didn't want to try to keep up with him. And my son said, you never should have done that. I should have told you not to do that. But we did have a good time. And, you know, you got to learn. You know, it's an honest mistake. Yeah, then he learned. Yes, Paul.
I remember about 2 years into working with you, one of our mid-level executives decided to come out with us on the road. I said, look, we're going out tonight. I go, Dan's going to, you know, give you both barrels, so be, you know, be ready. He goes, oh, I could drink. I'm like, okay. I didn't see him again for like 4 days, this guy. He was roughed up.
I remember we went out one time, and somebody that I was working with didn't, like, he came in when we were going to do the show. Like, we had lost him.
Yeah.
And he was coming in when we were going out. We
lost a lot of men those days. We lost a lot of people.
A lot of good ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of good ones. Todd just gave me mock headlines on the Super League.
Left me like 30 seconds to get this in. I got to pick my best three now or something?
No, best five. The Super League was around for 5 days. You get five mock headlines. Now, here is the wager. If you do not get an honest laugh, you have to wear that t-shirt tomorrow and Friday.
We all win.
Okay?
Wow.
Okay, so you picked five. Wow. Okay. You got to get an honest laugh here. All right?
All right.
And if you don't get an honest laugh, you have to wear that t-shirt tomorrow and Friday. Okay?
And I can't wash it because if it shrinks anymore, I'll never get into it.
Here we go. Here's Todd's mock headlines on the Super League that lasted 5 days.
Making an arsenal out of themselves. You guys are going to do everything you can to not laugh.
It's not bad.
No! Backlash boots, super bad idea.
Okay, Seton gave you a laugh.
Thank God, because I don't think I can wear this another 10 minutes. Can I quit now? Maybe I should step out now. Can I read that last one, or that's not appropriate?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's not terrible,
look,
is it?
Look, I'm on vacation for the next 2 days.
I think I could. Right?
Yeah, go ahead.
Birth of
wait a minute. I don't want everybody to be on a permanent vacation here.
Should we save that for like the newsletter?
I think you.
Basically, it says birth of new league halted. Teams pull out. That's safe, right? That's not terrible. Is that classless? Is that tasteless?
I
said it's reading a second time?
I don't know if it's funny.
I thought it was clever, though.
Yeah.
No! Backlash boots super.
All right,
bad
you got
idea.
Two more. You got okay. Two more.
Okay. Liverpool fans give Greed the red card. Liverpool.
I got it.
I don't know if any of these other are funny.
All right.
Put a soccer in it. Clubs realize their mistake.
What we learned brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Go far beyond Mercedes-Benz Vans. Build, equipped, engineered to be ready for anything. Go the extra mile. Taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. Sorry I didn't get to the phone calls. Got busy, hopefully, trying to entertain you. I'll talk to you next week. One more item as we close out the show. There's been some recent hires in the world of sports, like Brandon Staley took over the Chargers. Arthur Smith took over the Falcons. Urban Meyer, of course, in Jacksonville. They were able to find the right people for the job. I don't know if they went through ZipRecruiter, but you should. ZipRecruiter.com/Patrick. That is the best way to hire. You're finding winning candidates fast and easy. They get out there and they hustle for you. You post a job on ZipRecruiter, get sent out to over 100 top job sites in just one click. Then ZipRecruiter's got some magical matching technology that finds the right people with the right skills for your job and then actively invites them to apply. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within that very first day. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. Go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Patrick. Once again, ZipRecruiter.com/Patrick. And remember, ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.